There was a body not too far from me, laying face down in the grass. It was just my morning walk, and a glance into a nearby field, over a short stone wall, revealed this startling sight. A large black man lay shirtless, his face compressed down into the grass. I squinted and tried to watch his body for signs of life. I yelled to ask him if he was okay, but there was no response. Was he breathing? I couldn't tell. I paused, unsure of the most prudent decision. Should I really call the police and just report a body? Or should I risk an approach, knowing that he's stronger than me and might behave in an erratic way if I wake him from what is merely a drugged stupor? Just then, a man approached from my left, jogging with earbuds in, probably in his early 50s. Immediately, I signaled towards the body and said, "Do you think he's alive?" with exaggerated mouth movements so the man could understand me over the volume of his music. The jogger came to a sudden stop, looked at the body, then stared at me with shared panic before jumping over the stone wall. Without saying anything, he signaled for me to stay where I was. Then he got close enough to the body and communicated to me that the man was breathing. He repeatedly yelled, "Are you okay, sir?" to the unconscious man, while cautiously getting closer. Suddenly, when he was only a yard or so away, the body moved and nodded his head yes to the inquiry, before rolling over, clearly recovering from some kind of substance. But why did it all unfold this way? Why was it so obvious to the jogger that it was his responsibility to check on the man, rather than mine? We never had a conversation comparing abilities, but we both knew what made sense. Despite every movement of gender indifferentism and feminism, in an emergency, a man, especially of that generation or older, takes on a distinctively patriarchal role and assumes the risk by default. It's so natural as to be beyond question. And really, such things ought to be beyond question. In other words, we ought to be able to recognize that which is obviously natural. A lot of the movements of modernity are counter to nature. They tell us to question the most basic things that we know to be true. They cast doubt on our ability to reason by positing and elevating the unreasonable. It's a sophistry that is woven to confuse people about even the most basic truths of our existence. Such movements try to pass for intellectualism, but are really closer to the exploration of insanity. When we are ungrounded, we are easier to manipulate in these ways. What ungrounds us? Youth, inexperience, lack of formation, lack of religious instruction, openness. Being open is noble in our age, but that's a very modern idea. Prior generations worked on becoming closed, closed to error. An openness to anything other than what is true is a flaw, or at least a vulnerability. If we seek openness, then we seek a status of never being certain of the truth and always questioning what we ought to know. It's a type of permanent immaturity. To be young is to have not yet settled on base understandings, and to be hopefully in a state of learning from a trusted source. It's easy to see how all of this has gone wrong. Our youths do not learn from trusted sources, and so many of our adults believe openness to be a virtue. That openness is then exploited to undermine their understanding of not just acceptability, but of what is. Their definition of man is ambiguous. They don't know why they exist. They don't understand their relationship to others, and being adrift leaves them at the mercy of the homo sophists so endemic in our age. Our society relies on men as close-minded as the one who jumped over the stone wall without wondering if the woman half his size should be offered the opportunity to take the lead. If we maleducate them out of existence, or shame them into unnecessary uncertainty, we only weaken the foundations that we will rely on in the battles of today and tomorrow.